Hello, welcome to the Live Well Lifestyle with Perry A. I'm excited to be here this morning. It's a beautiful day in the Great Southwest, and I hope it is where you are too. I was just listening to a little Rascal Flatts about today is the first day of the rest of my life. And you know, we can all start fresh and new. And this program is about dealing with life and finding that joy and happiness and contentment and peace and love and all the good things in life. And today we're going to discuss a topic that I've been involved in. I got caught up in the need to be needed, and I think a lot of us do. Now, I'm not talking about it's bad to help people. It's good to help people and to serve them, but are you enabling or are you empowering? And some of us get wrapped up in enabling and give our own energy and not take care of ourselves to take care of people to the point that we're not teaching them to care for themselves. And so that's what I'm talking about today. Not the Boy Scouts, not the nurses, not the teachers who do good things to help people all the time. I teach my grandson to be helpful and kind, and he opens the door for strangers. And you know, he likes to help people when they're at the grocery store. He'll offer to get the things out of their basket and put it on the little runway there for them and things like that. And that's all well and good in helping people who can't help themselves, who are really down and out. But sometimes we get a little overboard, and I call it the need to be needed. Often I find myself attached to the need to be needed, to be important, really important. I will find places to serve and give my time and energy and talents in self-sacrificing amounts until I find myself resenting that which I most need. We begin it to feel important, to feel good about doing things for other people, and we keep doing it until we get exhausted and it gets old, and then we begin to resent it. It's not a gift any longer. It's a paradox, the need to be needed. Sometimes in needing, I would see others as crippled and ineffective, so I could step in with all my gallantry and be of service. After a while, the role gets old and the resentment, the griping, the blaming, and the complaining begin. As for others, did they ask for my service? Did they say, fix me? Or in my sympathy, did I say, let me apply the bandage to your wound that I think you have? I don't want you to hurt. Did I imagine their hurt? Sometimes in hurting, pain, and tears, there is a healing that takes place. Often bandages that stop the complete healing process and the grieving process. We need to experience of the grieving and the healing process. What would it be like if I needed me, if I gallantly served myself, if I took time just to be me? Could I teach my children and others of self-care and self-love? Could I let others be all they can be in finding their own way? I often wonder. Anytime I think someone needs me, I need to look again. They are just reflecting my projections. The deepest truth is, I need them, or I need them to need me so I can know who I am. Sounds complicated, doesn't it? Well, the ego is like a fine-tuned chess player to keep you from knowing your own truth. When my youngest daughter went off to college, I had a lot of worries and concerns for her. I attributed them to the fact that she graduated from a class of 30 in a town one-fourth the size of the Texas Tech University where she would be enrolling as a freshman. I saw nothing but perils and pitfalls to snag her from her true purpose of going to college. Being the concerned, dutiful mother that I was, I began to warn and coach her with unrequested information. You know what I'm talking about. Be careful who you run around with. Watch out for drugs and drinking. Remember, you're too young to drink, and don't go to clubs. and you must get yourself to class on time, and you've got to budget your money carefully, and on and on and on. I gave her a lot of ideas she hadn't even thought about. That's the way life is. Suddenly, I realized I was seeing her as less than whole and perfect. My vision of her was that of a victim, an incompetent child who needed her mother to get her to class on time and advise her of her every action. Not exactly empowering for her. Then I stopped and I asked myself, what do I get from seeing her as less than whole and perfect? There's always a payback that we get when we don't see people as complete. I didn't like the answer. I needed her to be needy and incompetent to need me so I would have my good mother identity. She was the last chicken in my nest. You see, my definition of as a good mother is one who has at least one child who needs her. If I saw her as competent and independent, out of the nest, so to speak, where does that leave me? Who am I with no children to need me? I have played the good mother role for the past 25 years with my children, and now suddenly my role is gone. I'm out of the picture. I've just lost my job. I've been laid off. I found out I'm dispensable. Wow, what a wake-up call. You get so involved in being in your children's life all their life, and when you let them fly the nest, you're still wanting to hold on. They can't fly if we won't cut the umbilical cord. Now, that can be a shocking realization, and the chess game really begins. When I woke up to what I was doing, I decided I needed another role, another identity. I would become my daughter's best friend and step out of the good mother role, or change my definition of good mother to one that lets their children go to spread their wings and soar and learn about this journey called life. I thought back to the time when Ashley was 8 years old and we were at a horse show in Fort Stockton, Texas. Now, Fort Stockton is on the edge of the Texas desert, so to speak. Not much there but a pile of caliche rocks, these white rocks, and a few greasewood bushes and oil wells. It was about 2 p.m. in July, and hot was a mild description of the weather. It was well over 100 degrees. Perspiration evaporated from the skin as soon as it appeared, leaving you coated with a salty, gritty texture. My husband and I were in one part of the barn helping Ashley's sister, Allison, get her horse ready, like good codependent parents. Ashley was at the far end of the barn playing. She decided to want a cloak, but had coke and had no money and didn't want to come traipsing through the barns looking for us, so she started selling rocks to strangers for 25 cents apiece and got enough money for a Coke and a hot dog. And I think she needs me. She has been a capable entrepreneur since she was 8 years old. You see, it's all the way you see them. This kid knows how to ask for what she wants. She made friends. We would leave, and one of the judges there would wave to her and say goodbye, and we said, when did you meet him? And she'd say, oh, I've been playing with his little boy. We've been playing together. So she's been pretty independent all her life. It was then I realized I was projecting my fears about my college career onto her. Guess who nearly flunked out of college one semester when non-academic activities became the primary focus? You guessed it, me. And my dad sent me the sweetest letter and a card that reminded me to get back on track and what I was there for. So I decided to empower Ashley to be all she could be. I reminded her of the time she sold rocks at Fort Stockton and told her she would do great in college because she is creative and knows how to get her needs met and is not afraid to ask questions. She went on to get her degree in elementary education, and now she teaches kindergarten kids how to paint rocks, among other things. It all comes back. As for me, I decided to take up a new career. In all my newly found spare time, I became a writer and speaker. I've written 5 books and have another on the way. I love sharing those special moments, like selling rocks in Fort Stockton, Texas, as a professional speaker and author. The need to be needed is a web that weaves and entangles the truth. If you think someone needs you, look again. Maybe you need you. For me, any time I see anyone is less than whole and perfect, it's my red flag to look deeper at myself. I ask, what do I get from seeing them is not enough? Then I get quiet and let my heart give me the answer. I call it an opportunity for spiritual growth. I welcome each person in my life as a teacher to help enlighten my path to peace and love. Checkmate. It's all about me. So I have a few favorite quotes of mine from Byron Katie I wanted to share. She said, if I had a prayer, it would be this. God, spare me from the desire for love, approval, appreciation, and to be needed. Isn't that great? Look at the things we do when we desire love, when we think we need to be loved by someone else. When you love yourself, other people can't help but love you. When you're at peace with, happy with yourself, and you don't need other people's approval, people admire that, and they think it's great, and they are drawn to you, and they can't help but love you. Another one, God is good, God is everything, the end. You go on with your illusion that something is not okay, and you lose, and you lose, and you lose. Think about that. We worry about our world. We think everything's okay. We think this planet we live on has never been in precarious situations and come out ahead before. And when you look back in history, you see it's been an ongoing cycle of life. And maybe one day we'll wake up and change the cycle. Hope so. The moment I see you as less than whole and perfect, I am trapped. It's me. It's my projections. Byron Katie, I love that one. The moment I see you as less than whole and perfect, I am trapped. I am projecting myself onto you. It's me. It's not about you. Your judgments about other people are always about you. Where do you do it in your life? How do you do it? You do it differently. But most of the time, when we're judgmental, we're doing to them the same things we're preaching to them about, just in a little different way. And this is a good one. Follow the 3 R's. Respect for yourself, respect for others, and responsibility for all of your actions. And I like that one. We need to become less concerned about whether or not we are needed are loved, and more concerned about whether or not we are loving. I'm going to read that again. We need to be become less concerned about whether or not we are needed or loved, and be more concerned about whether we are loving. What have you done today out of pure love, with no expectations of return, to someone dear to you today? It is the glue that holds relationships together. When you are loving, it is a gift and will be returned in many ways. When you are helping from a place of needing approval, appreciation, and love, you're doing it so you can feel good, and it is not sincere or about them. What would you do if it was totally anonymous? Would you still do the things you do if you could be anonymous? Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, the need to be needed. And sometimes we need to redefine our roles with people and change our perspective and be someone else for them, be someone empowering. rather than someone enabling. And most of the time, our need to be needed is associated with relatives, people that are close to us, our children. That's where the tie is really strong and the umbilical cords need to be cut. You've trained them your whole life. You've taught them. You've raised them up. Now let them go out, and they're going to stumble and fall. They didn't learn to walk the first time they tried. They didn't learn to ride a bike without falling and skinning a knee. They've got to have their own learning, but be there for them. Give them the right kind of guidance before they leave house. The integrity, teach them values and morals and godlike kindness to other people. Now we have a lot of people who are natural caregivers by profession, and I'm not talking about them. The nurses, the caretakers, the hospice workers, teachers fall into that category, counselors, and there are just many people who have a profession for that, which is, but they're not attached to the need to be needed. And that's the difference. And I share this with you because I find myself there. Sometimes people tell me their problems and I jump in with advice before I'm asked, and I have to remember to know that they'll find their way. If I found my way, why don't they have a same chance to find their way? And the learning experience is what the journey's about. It's not arriving. The end of the trail and the arriving is never as exciting as the moments before and the build-up and the journey along the way and the hardships to get there. The more hardships you have, the more you appreciate your success. Thought of something, and I've already lost it about that. One of my favorite quotes is about Winnie the Pooh, and I call it Pooh Wisdom. And one day Piglet said to Pooh, "Pooh, what's the best thing in the whole world to you? What do you like best in the whole world?" And Pooh had to think a little bit, because that was a really big question. And he said, "You know, eating honey is very, very good, but that moment just before you eat the honey is even better. The anticipation, the journey, I'm almost there. The wanting, the desire." And that's what life's about. Going down this journey called life. Wanting, growing, stumbling, getting up, dusting yourself off, finding another way. When the desire is great and it's your desire and your journey and what you want, you will find a way, and the universe will move to support you and help you. Be positive. Don't complain. Don't whine. Don't blame. Those things block your good from entering. It gives you negative energy, and so you may have more bad things happening to you because you're not a clear creator. When we will argue with life and reality, we always lose. It's like saying, "Oh, it's hot today. I hate it when it's too hot." Well, if the world doesn't care, the weather doesn't care, it is what it is, and you spend your time arguing about it. Recently, we had lunch, and a lady went in and picked up some sandwiches and brought to us when we had a little gathering. It was her day to supply the lunch, and when she got there, there was a little girl sitting there with her elbow propped on the counter doing nothing. And when she placed her orders, they were out of French fries. Instead of sitting there with her elbow on the counter, she should have been looking to see that they had needed more fries, French fries fixed. So the hamburgers were ready before the French fries, and she had to wait for them. Well, she told us the story two or three times. It so frustrated her that this little girl didn't do it her way. And you know, that day it was what it is. You can tell the story over and over again about how they should do life, but it's not going to change things. All it does is frustrate you, and you get to build up your anxiety again. And I was really tired of hearing about it. I mean, she started on it three times, and she kept telling over and over little girl had her elbow there and she should have done it differently. We do this unconsciously, and as soon as we can recognize that we're sitting there complaining, the quicker that we can change it and saying, well, that's the way it was today, but I finally got my French fries. Good. Let's go on. I had another friend who lost her wallet, and they didn't call right away. The people that found it couldn't find her and had a difficult time, and they finally showed up at her door with her wallet, but it had been 2 or 3 days. By then, she'd changed all her credit cards, and she was so frustrated and angry because she'd had to change her card. She just lit into this person and said, why didn't you call me? My phone number was in there. Why didn't you? You had my, you know, my wallet. My information was there. Why didn't you let me know you found it? I had to change all my stuff and stop my credit cards. Well, the point was she got it back, and she had all of her important papers and her pictures and other things that were in her wallet, her money. And she didn't even, you know, stop long enough to be grateful for that. She was so frustrated because she had had to change her credit cards. And whose fault was it she lost the wallet? It wasn't the lady's. It was hers. So the responsibility was with her, not with the person who didn't return it within 3 seconds after she found it. And that's the way we get caught up in life, and it drags us down. Being angry about things drags you down. So what can you stay happy about? That's why I like the song we heard today by Rascal Flatts. And he said, today he was talking about a friend that died that had never really lived, hadn't gone for life, and it reminded him that today was the first day of his rest of your life. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. And the things that aren't happy and serving you, you can change. You can see yourself in a different role. You can see them differently. Lots of times it's seeing them differently and supporting them by encouraging them and telling them how strong they are and how wise they are, and talking about stories of times when they did things right, not what they did wrong. What they did wrong is a temporary learning mistake. Anybody that tells me they've lost their job or they're had a relationship breakup, I say congratulations. You know there's something better waiting for you. Get a clear definition of what you want. You know, if I ask you what you wanted to be happy, just think of the magnitude of how to say what you need. There's so many things that contribute to that. But if we can get clear on the next job that we need, where do you want the location? What kind of salary you want? What kind of opportunities for advancement do you want? What kind of medical plan do you want? What kind of people do you want to work with? What kind of a boss do you want to have? Is this job something that excites you, that you're passionate about? So if we get clear on what we want, the universe will move to support us. But fear gets in the way when we lose a job or lose a relationship, and we're afraid to let go of the pool to move to the other side, but you can't swim across the pond holding on to the edge. Sometimes you have to let go and see what's out there and just take off. And if the first one that comes along isn't what really brings you joy, there's something else waiting for you, and you're taking a position just to get by for someone who really is cut out for that position, and you're going to be miserable in another job. So hang in there. Trust. God has your back. He will provide what you need, and you don't have to know how, but it will come to you as long as you ask for it and believe. And life is really simple, and we make it so hard. And I think I've talked enough for today. And this is Perrier signing out.